Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is the Ready Church. Are you ready? We thank and praise God. It's another day that the Lord has kept us, and he's kept us with our minds stayed on him. That's a blessing to be closed in your right mind, blood running warm in your veins, activity of your limbs on today. We thank the Lord because there are so many that was here on yesterday, is not here today. But he spared our lives once again. Oh, what a blessing. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. We ask, oh God, that you minister to us in a special way. We see the signs of judgment all around about us. We see that you're soon to come. God, we pray that you help us to get in a hurry, oh God. And we'll be prepared, oh God, for your soon coming. And we just thank you on tonight. Think through my mind, speak through my lips of clay. Move in and everything out of the way that's not like you in the atmosphere. We just praise you and worship you. And to you be the glory and the praise in this last hour that the devil is defeated. God is exalted, Holy Spirit is present, and Jesus Christ is still Lord. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, it's another day, as I said, that the Lord has kept us, and there's so much going on. As you always hear me say, there's so much going on, so much to address in this last hour. I mean, from one day to the next and one minute to the next, I'm telling you there's so much that we need to address in this last hour. We know that time is winding up and Jesus is soon to come. We see that violence is still in the land. You know, every day you hear so much stuff that's coming at you, you know. We heard just this week, you know, it was very disturbing to hear that two children, that both were the age of 7, one was a boy, one was a girl, one was in North Carolina and the other was in Chicago, was shot and killed. I'm telling you, young people, oh my God, the enemy is killing, stealing, and destroying people's lives, and violence is really filling the land. I mean, it's so disturbing. You just want people to wake up and out of your slumber, out of your sleep, and run for your life. And minister to your family. Oh, we're running out of time. So much going on with the pandemic and, you know, COVID and, you know, and just so many things people dealing with in their body, different types of sickness and disease. But God said, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. You know, he's still a healer. He's still a deliverer. You know, he's still setting the captives free on today. Whatever's holding you and binding you up and tying you up and yoking your mind up, he said, I will keep thee in perfect peace of mind. It stayed on thee. There's so many people that are committing suicide. And, you know, it's just so much to address. But tonight we want to talk about the consequences of sin. There's a pay, you know. There's judgment for the sin that we're in, you know. I mean, it's just so much going on. Even this week you heard of shooting, you know, even on the interstates, you know, from one part of town to the other. I mean, it's just so much going on. It's just so much. It's so much. So much that we need to pray for. And so much that we need, so much work that needs to be done. And the church is not doing their job. Leaders are no longer doing what they're supposed to do. You know, I mean, if you, why have church? Why have pastors? Why have leaders if you're not going to do what you're supposed to do? The pastors are gatekeepers. They're watchmen for your soul. And there are consequences for our action. Jesus came to save men from their sin. But I know now, you know, with this new age stuff, you know, there's no more sin, you know. It's just so much going on, church. I mean, violence is filling the land. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 11. All we can do is give you the word of God. The word will do everything that needs to be done. It will save you. It will change your life. It will keep you. But you got to get in the Word. Genesis 6 and 11. We're going to start there. We're going to talk about the consequences of sin. People saying there's no more sin, y'all. Oh, my God. Why are we having killing, stealing, and everything going on around about us if there's no more sin? Oh, my God. Genesis chapter 6. I tried to get on earlier, and I couldn't get on, but nevertheless, thank God we're up here now. And we're coming from Genesis chapter 6. And see what the Word has to say. That's our roadmap, y'all. You know, this is where we get our instructions from, the Word of God. It'll be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Chapter 6 of Genesis and verse 11 says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." Do y'all not see this? Come on, we need to get back to the Bible. Get back to the Word of God. It's the only thing that will help you in these trying times. These, you know, the Word of God is the only thing that can save you. It's the only thing that will keep you in this last hour. The Word of God said, "I will keep thee in perfect peace." Who's mind? What are your mind on? You need to get your mind in the Word of God. Stand on it. It's so much stuff that's coming at us, you know, the battles of your mind, you know. Even while I'm trying to minister, you know, the enemy is trying to send things to my mind. But, you know, the Word of God shall keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. The Word just says that the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. Look around, y'all. This is the only book on the face of the earth that's giving us the instructions of what's taking place around about us right now. It says, "For all flesh had corrupt his ways upon the earth." Can't you see it? The Bible said, "As in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man shall return." Jesus coming, y'all. Can't you see violence every day? I mean, like I said, you know, I even saw where in the, I forgot what area it was in, but there was a McDonald's, you know, a gang came to the McDonald's while the young man was driving through with his daughter in there, and they shot up the car. Come on, y'all. Violence is still in the land. It's so much. Oh, it's so much going on in this world. You need Jesus. Jesus is still the answer. I know people try to make it look like Jesus is not the answer, but Jesus is the only answer. There's power in the name of Jesus. That's why the enemy don't want people to talk about the name of Jesus and power in the name of Jesus, you know, because he knows that he's running out of time. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Well, where are we living at? We're on the earth, y'all. The Bible said, and God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continuously. We're hearing things gruesome, you know, crimes, and, you know, family members are destroying one another, lives, and the love of many are waxing cold, and we're living in the last days. We're living in this perilous time, you know. But, you know, so much is going on, you know. But Jesus is still the answer, y'all. He's our only hope in this last hour. He's your only hope. Call on the name of Jesus. He promised that he will hear and answer our prayer. The Bible said in verse 6, right under that, it said, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. What do you all think that Jesus feel about all this stuff that's going on in this around about us now? He sent his son to save us, you know, to deliver us from evil, you know. But you know, he look around and he see the we're right back to where we were before, as in the days of Noah. They were eating, drinking, and being married, you know. And that's all you hear today, you know. Men are trying to please their fast flesh. They're, you know, you're doing everything that the enemy wants you to do, you know. He come to kill, he come to steal, he come to destroy your life. The devil don't love you. He hates you. And he knows that he is bound for hell. And he's trying to get as many as he can to go to hell with him. The Bible says in Isaiah, it talks about that hell has enlarged itself. Nor has hell enlarged itself. Because hell was just meant for Satan and his angels, but because there's so many people on the earth that's not following truth, you know, have left the foundational truth, which is God's word. He has basic instructions for us, y'all. We're running out of time. Run for your life. There are consequences for our actions, y'all. You know, these pastors, I said, they are not, you know, preaching, you know, and teaching what they were years and years ago. Now it's just new age, you know, it's out with the old, in with the new. That's what new world order, that means you have to cleanse out all the old stuff and bring in new stuff. And the Bible told us that the spirit of seducing spirits was going to come in this last hour to change you and to take you away from truth. And as we can see, so many leaders are not doing what they're supposed to do. And, you know, and they're not sharing the word of God. They got a new gospel. They got, you know, you can just do whatever you want to do. But according to the word of God, no, you can't do whatever you want to do. What we need to do is deny you. Can you deny yourself? Deny what your flesh want today? And follow Christ before time is too late. We're running out of time. Jesus is soon to come. He can come at any time. You know, we need to be ready. You know, I was reading in the book of Daniel. Let's turn to the book of Daniel. These are some of the consequences, you know. When we don't obey God like we are supposed to, you know, because people are not preaching and teaching like they, you know, these preachers are not ministering the word of life to you like they once did. But there's a new gospel, a new Jesus. He told us to look out for it. Look out for him. Stick with the basic foundational truth. In the book of Daniel, the 7 and verse 28 reads as follows. It said, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And the king spoke and said, is not this great Babylon? That's what these pastors are saying. You know, they're thinking, you know, that they ruling. You know, they ruling everything now. It said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by might or my power, and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, they felt a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to this it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive them from men, and their dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field that shall make thee eat the grass of an oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whosoever he willeth. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as the oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair was grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails was like bird claws. And at the end of the day, I saw Nebuchadnezzar lift up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised him, and honored him, and lived for him forever. Whosoever dominion is as everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Let's go down to verse 36. It said, at the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and the brightness returned to me, and my counselor and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the kingdom of heaven. All those works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride is able to be abased. They were brought down. Here, you know, he was talking about how Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he didn't honor God, because he was looking to himself, like these leaders today, thinking that, you know, look what I've done. Look who I am. Did you not hear when I read where it says that he said, I have built for this house the kingdom of the might of my power? And that's what a lot of these pastors are doing. Like, you know, I know y'all say I always own T.D. Jakes, but it's not just T.D. Jakes, but it's so many ministers that have taken down, you know, because they are being lifted up by men. I've heard different people say, you know, T.D. Jakes, he's great. He's a great T.D. Jakes, you know. And, you know, Bloomer, I heard him say, you know, T.D. Jakes is great. And see, that's what has gotten man into into the situation they're in today. You know, men lifting you up. You know, men lifting up flesh. You know, lifting up the creature instead of the creator. You forget it was God that has made us, not T.D. Jakes, not Joel Osteen, not Kenneth Copeland, not none of these people that you're lifting up and giving praise and honor to. In this story, it talks about how, you know, when he had to be brought down. Nebuchadnezzar had to be brought down, and he was brought down. He was brought down, and, I mean, they say his hair was like, you know, like eagle feathers. You know, you can't imagine, like, you know, kind of matted up, and, you know, kind of remind me of listening to some of these people, looking at some of these people with these dreads, and their hair were matted up, and these long claws, like birds, you know, bird claws. Can you imagine a man being out in the field in front of his house just, you know, eating grass? They lost your mind. And, you know, and a lot of these pastors, they have lost their mind. They have lost their mind. They sure have. They have lost their mind, and they need the mind of Christ. You need to get back, pray, and seek God like never before. Run. You're taking away, you're leading people away and astray from truth because they're looking to you. They think you the great. You know, just like they were saying Nebuchadnezzar thought he was great. But, you know, as we kept reading, I read through so fast, but as we were reading, you know, it really talks about he came to his senses, though. That's the thing, you know. Even if you know, you may not be in the place you want to be in the Lord, but he finally returned back to him. He returned to Christ, you know. And we thank him for that on tonight. We just give him the glory and honor and the praise for everything he's done and he's doing in his last evil days. We just praise him on tonight. We plead the blood of Jesus against any and every attack in the atmosphere that try to hinder the word of God on tonight. We know that the word of God is still powerful. It will never lose its power. The blood of Jesus is still power in the name of Jesus. It's still power in the blood of Jesus. The devil knows that. That's why he's working so hard, you know. That's why he's, you know, attacking families. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your family. Don't allow the enemy to do it. Get into the word of God. It will lead you and guide you into all truth. But you have got to seek God like never before. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. He's just as close as you, you know, as you are, you know. He's just as close to you right now as I'm talking to you right now. All he wants you to do is just open up your heart and let him in. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Save me, change me, deliver me. Keep me. He is a keeper. I know the enemy, you know, desires to, you know, to kill and to steal and destroy your life. But Jesus said, I come to give you life and that life more abundantly. You can have abundant life in Christ. That's why the enemy is working so hard to try to destroy your life. But don't allow him to do it. Get into the word of God. Seek him like never before. Seek him like never before. Let's go to Genesis 2 and 17. There are consequences. Consequences for the sin that you're in. The only thing going to save you and keep you in this last hour is the word of God. That's why the enemy is working so hard, you know, for you not to hear the word and for me not to give out the word. Genesis 2 and verse 17. And it says, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou shalt eat of it, thou shalt surely die. So what was the consequence of the sin? It was death. We just read it. The consequences of their sin was death. He said, you shall surely die. That's why they die. Because of Adam and Eve, disobedience, and not obeying the instructions where they were put in the garden to do. It's the same thing today. The consequences for our sin. There's consequences for your disobedience. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's the consequences. Genesis chapter 3. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. All we got tonight is the word, and the enemy don't want me to give it out. He's fighting me hard, but he's still defeated. These are the consequences. Genesis 3 and verse 14 says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shall thou go, and the dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise hit thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Verse 16 says, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow." That's why women have to have pain when they are in labor. It says, "Thou shalt bring forth children, and thou shalt desire, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." So there's a structure. But because, you know, they didn't abide by their rules, that's the consequences. Pain for a woman to conceive. And let's continue to read. "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife." Here we go. Disobedient. Rebellion against God. It said, "Thou hast eaten of the tree." That's what they did. "Of which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. And in sorrow shalt thou eat it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat of the herbs of the field, and in the sweat of thy face shall thy bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." So when a person dies, where do they go? They go back to the dust, the dirt. That's the consequences. That was the consequences of them disobeying God. God had put them in a garden, and it was not for man to die. But because of disobedience, they go back to the dust. And whether you're rich or poor, nobody can change that. You still have to leave because of sin, because of the consequences of their actions. Let's go to Lamentation. The word is still right. The word is still true. I know the enemy don't want the word to go forth, but no weapon formed against us shall prosper tonight. His word is still a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Lamentation chapter 5. Here's the consequences. Chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities." So for them disobeying God, that's the consequences. The wages of sin is death. The consequences of sin is death. Now, Romans 5 and 12, we're not going to be before you long tonight. As I said, I tried to get on earlier, couldn't get on. Nevertheless, I'm up here now, and the devil's, you know, trying to throw his fiery dots at my mind and trying to quick twist up my tongue and twist up my thoughts and stuff, and no weapon formed against me. If one person gets saved and delivered and set free, then I've done my job. How about that? Romans, and we're going to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Wages of sin, y'all. Consequences of sin. Romans 5 and 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. It said by one man. It's talking about Adam. God placed Adam in the garden. He made Adam before he made Eve. There's a structure. God made man, and then he made woman, and then he gave her children. And I know with all this, you know, New Age stuff and, you know, the enemy coming in trying to change God's word, and the preachers are no longer preaching the truth because, you know, they've got fear for the money, God, you know, to take you away from truth, to take you away from the word of God. But get back in your word for yourself. This is a personal journey for all of us. We all got to stand before God for ourselves and give an account. I mean, just think, you know, the person that you're worshiping, these men that you're worshiping, how about your mother and your grandmother and great-grandmother that didn't even know them? And they, you know, and here you go worshiping a man instead of the Creator. You worshiping somebody just like you. Somebody got to die just like you. Somebody got to give an account just like you. He says, therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. That's the consequences. I keep reading it to you. The wages of sin is death, y'all. And it says death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. That's you and I. For that all have sinned. So we all have sinned until we get born again. We were born in sin, but now we can be born again. Where Adam and Eve fell, Jesus came on the scene. He came to save men from their sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 6 and 23 says, for the wages, pay of sin is death. I didn't say that. The word is saying that. That's why the enemy don't want you to get into the word, because he knows once you get in the word will set you free. It will change you. And he whom the Son set free is free indeed. The word of God will change you. It will set you free. These are the consequences of our actions of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. If you receive Christ in your life, in your heart, open up your heart and let him come in. It say you have eternal life. That's life with no end. Eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He was knocking at the door of your heart saying, won't you let me in? You tried everything and everything else that failed. Try Jesus. Well, you tried everything. Try Jesus. He won't disappoint you. He will come in and he'll live with you. He'll stop with you. He'll stay there. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. You won't have to worry about trying to keep yourself. He'll keep you. The word of God said, I keep them perfect peace. His mind has stayed on me. Keep your mind in the word of God. Let it be your roadmap from earth to glory. Oh, yes, he will. He will save you. He will deliver you. There's no sin that you've been in that he won't forgive you for. I don't care. You may say, I've murdered somebody. I done did some things that I would never want anybody to know. It doesn't matter with Christ. He came to save men up from their sin. I don't care what sin it is. Just let him in and let him live inside of you, live inside of your heart. He's a big guy. He's so big, that, but yet so small that he can live in your heart when you ask him in. Now, James 1 and verse 13 and 14, it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed from your own desires, your own wanting, you know, to do whatever you want to do, from your own rebellion against God and against his word. Yes. Verse 15 says, then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. That's why we're seeing so much go on. The nation that have forgotten God shall be cast into hell. The sin, the doors that have been opened because the ministers and pastors, gatekeepers have not been doing their job. They're supposed to be watching for your soul. Why do we have church? Why do we have a pastor if he's not going to preach you the truth, tell you the truth, if it's not going to, you know, turn you away from evil and wickedness, you know? The wages, the pay for sin is death. The consequences of sin is death. He's knocking at your heart right now, saying, let me in. I want to live inside of you. Jeremiah 33 and 3 say, you call on him and he will answer. When you call on Jesus, he will answer. He's not like man. You may call them and they want him to answer their cell phone, house phone, or whatever kind of phone they have. But he said, if you call on him, he will answer you. Do you call on Jesus today? Do you invite him in? Do you let him order your steps on today? And there's so much going on. The love of men is waxing cold. But Jesus, he loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to keep you. And the word says, I will keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Ask him to come in. Ask him to live inside of you. God's mercy and his grace. You know, you hear some people say, well, you know, God is just a loving God. You know, he is a loving God, but he's a God of judgment too. You know, there's justice. There's justice that has to be served, you know. Matthew, let's go to Matthew 23 and 33. Yes, he is a loving God. Yes, he is. But he's a God of judgment. Judgment is coming. He's knocking at the door of your heart. You need to let him in. Why won't you let him in? And then my husband used to sing a song, why don't you let him in? Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. Why don't you let him in? He's not going to force his way in. He gave every man free will and choice. For you can choose him. You know? You can choose whether you want to serve him or not. But we pray on today that you will let him in. Let him in your heart. Come live inside of me, Jesus. It's not my brother, not my sister, not my mother, not my father, but it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer, standing in the need of deliverance. Verse 23, chapter 23 and 33, he said, now, I know you say, well, God is a loving God. Yes, he is. But he's God of judgment, too. He don't, you know, he hates sin. And he hates wickedness. And right here, I know people say, they, you know, they talk like it ain't no hell no more. But right here, he say, in verse 33, he say, this is Jesus speaking. He say, ye serpent, ye generation of vipers. He was calling them snakes. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? He said, how you going to escape hell? So Jesus calling them snakes, serpents, vipers. He said, how you going to escape hell? And I'm asking you today, how you going to escape hell if you don't live right? If you live right, heaven belongs to you. But if you don't, hell is your home. He said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Hell is real. Hell is as real as heaven is. Hell is as real as death. You didn't know you were going to be born. When? And you don't know where you're going to leave. But it's real. It's real. Matthew 24 and verse 4 says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. There's a lot of deception taking place today. You know, with all this stuff, you know, that you look around and see today. He said, take heed that no man, I don't care who they is, how great they think their name is. You know, we just read about Nebuchadnezzar, thought his name was great too. You know? And for 7 years, this man was in the front of his yard out in eating grass, in the front of his yard, lost his mind. There was the consequences. And there are consequences, y'all, of thinking you're great. You're greater than God and saying that you are God. We're not God. It is he that has made us, not we ourselves. But here it's saying, Jesus answered and said unto him, take heed that no man deceive you. Don't be deceived. He says in verse 5, for many shall come in my name. And we're hearing a lot of people naming the name of Jesus. Now they put, it's just so sad. And it's just, I don't even see how in the world people can say the things that they say and say that they're Christian. It's because you're not. Because when Christ come in, he said, behold, all things become new. Your mouth, he will clean up your nasty mouth. Yes, he will. He said, no profanity. He will clean up your mouth. He'll clean your whole life up. But this new age Jesus, the one that he just said, you know, many shall come in my name. His name is Jesus. And it's a lot of people putting Jesus' name to a lot of stuff that is not the true and living God. It's not the Jesus of Nazareth. This is another Jesus that he told us that was coming to seduce you and reduce you down and to take you away from truth. That's what we're seeing today. We're seeing the Jesus with... They say what? Witches for Jesus, hookers for Jesus, get drunk for Jesus, crunk for Jesus, smoking for Jesus, drinking for Jesus, cross-dressing Tyler Perry, you know, for Jesus. All of this stuff was not in the house of God. They've opened up the house of God and have let these strange, brought these strangers in the sanctuary. Like we were talking about Nadab and Abihu, them two brothers, Aaron's son, Moses' nephews, brought in strange things into the house of God. There's some strange things going on in the name of Jesus that he told us to watch out for. He said, for many shall come in my name, saying that I am Christ, and shall deceive many. They said, when deceive a few, shall deceive many. We're seeing that spirit of deception all around about us today. But you don't have to be deceived. And these leaders have sold out. They've sold out. They've exchanged. What would you give in exchange for yourself? They've exchanged things for money, for fame, and their name. The Bible says in Galatians that, oh, foolish Galatians, who has been with you? It takes a person to be with you. It takes a person to, you know, put a spell over you, to charm you, to trick you, to seduce you. It's a person who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth. Why is it now we don't have to obey the truth? Why is it now it's out with the word of God like it used to be now? You know, it's a new thing. You know, it's a new season. Things we used to do, you know, in the house of God, we no longer doing that. You just changing everything, out with the pews and bring in theater chairs and, you know, bring just all this stuff in the house of God. These are the strange things that the Bible's talking about. Even as we was reading about Nebuchadnezzar, but if you go a little bit further, the handwriting was on the wall with his son. Yeah, with his son. Belshazzar, he brought in strange things. Didn't learn from his father being out there, you know, in front of his house, you know, in front of his yard for 7 years. 7 years, which means completion. 7 years he was laid out in front of his house eating grass, lost his mind. But his son, Belshazzar, he didn't learn anything, because when he came on the scene and took over, he brought those same strange things back into the house of God. Started doing things that you ought not be doing. That's what we're seeing today, a lot of strange things in the house of God. And that's why there's so much going on the outside of the house of God, because people have nowhere to turn, because the ministers are no longer preaching truth, no longer standing for righteousness, no longer telling people, you know, about Jesus is the way and Jesus is soon to come. Oh, yes, he's still soon to come. And he wants us all to get our house in order. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he may be near. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. That's what we're supposed to be doing, preparing ye the way of the Lord. But he's still King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. You need to put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand. And having done all to stand, I know there's some things that hit you from one way to, you know, one side to the other, but don't let it knock you no further than your knees. Get back up and fight again. That's where I'm at right now. I'm in a fight. I'm in a war, a constant war, a tug of war for your soul. But you got to stand. And having done all to remain standing until you be faithful to God, and he will certainly be faithful to you. What he promised you he would do, he will do. I made a vow to the Lord, and I won't take it back. There are the people that made vows and made promises to God. Lord, if you heal my body, Lord, you save my soul. Lord, you deliver me out. And now we're going right back into Egypt, doing the things that we said we would never do again. We turned our back on God. Turned our back off from the things of God, the truth. We turned our back. They're backslidden. I know some people say, once saved, always saved. If that's not true. We wouldn't be using the term backslidden, a backslider. You need to come back. Run back before time is too late. If you've gotten off track and, you know, you no longer have oil in your vessel, run. Run back. The safest place in the whole wide world is to be in the will of God. Lord, I want to be in your will. Cleanse me, change me, save me. Repent. That's the thing. Just repent. Turn from your wicked ways and turn to God, and he will do the rest. He will keep you in perfect peace. Little line that stayed on thee. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for your word tonight. It's still a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Pray for salvation and deliverance. We pray for the listener on tonight. God, we just plead the blood of Jesus against any and every attack of the enemy in the atmosphere that try to come and to hinder your word on tonight. But we just thank you, oh God, because you are still Almighty God. You are still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And tonight, no weapons formed against us shall prosper. In Jesus' name we pray. The Ready Church is still ready. Bless you, Ready Church.
Most of the time.